I'm Mark Wielaert. I hack on Valgrind. I live in the Netherlands and I work for Red Hat, where I help maintain Valgrind for Fedora, RHEL, and Red Hat Developer Tools products. For the last Valgrind release, I helped Aaron integrate debug-info-d support, which is a new way to find debug info files. And I also improved the TWARF reading speed, so that instead of seconds for larger programs, it only takes a few hundred milliseconds at startup. So I would like to talk a bit on why and how Valgrind uses debug info, which issues I faced and which other improvements we could make. So why debug info? Valgrind can mostly do its work on binary code and addresses, but the user will likely appreciate symbolic function names in source files, line numbers. Specifically, the user will provide Valgrind with symbolic function names in suppression files. And Valgrind will want to report addresses as function names and, when possible, with source code files and lines. When Valgrind reports an issue, the backtrace is the most useful piece of information because it not only tells where an issue was encountered, but also how we got to that location. But these days, compilers often partially inline functions if that is cheaper than calling them, especially with link time optimization. This is done a lot and sometimes multiple levels deep. So in that case, it's really helpful to show a virtual backtrace. This function was called from another, but instead of calling it, the compiler inlined this code into the caller, and or even the caller's callers. And this is so useful that we enable it by default with the read inline info is yes option. And finally, it would be nice if we could report the variables corresponding to the address or maybe recursors that are being manipulated by the program. But that is fairly expensive and it isn't really accurate enough, which is why read var info is off by default. We used to have a experimental tool, SGCheck, which was supposed to be a stack and global array overrun detector based on the var info, but it didn't really work that well, so it has been removed. But it would be really nice to figure out a better way to use the variable location information to make it less expensive and more accurate. Sadly, I don't really know how to do that. Anyway, for this talk, I'm ignoring inline tables. They are described in the TWAR standard, but in practice implemented slightly differently as EA tables, which are always available, and they work on the address level anyway. I'm also ignoring symbol names that might be mangled and need to be demangled to make sense to the user. But this also interesting, we added Rust symbol demangling in the last release, but it isn't really, it doesn't really add to the debug info itself. And we also ignore non-dwarf debug info, like the PDB Windows debug format that's used by Wine programs, which you can run under Valgrind. And Valgrind has a PDB reader, but I don't know anything about that format. So, what do I call debug info? Basically, three parts. First, we have the simple tables. We always have the dynamic symbols, since Valgrind only works on dynamically linked executables. And these are the exported functions that can be called between libraries and executables. This is often a small table and only covers a few functions, the exported functions, but it is useful. Then there's the symtab, which is the symbols that were needed for linking the program, like the internal static function names. But the symtab is often moved into a separate debug file because it isn't really needed at runtime anymore. But if we can get at it, then the symbol tables give us a simple mapping from adders range to function names. A bit more interesting are the debug line tables. These are also often moved into a separate debug file. Technically, it's a directory and file table plus a simple program producing a matrix from addresses to file, line, number, and some other properties of the instructions at a certain address. Like the symbol table, this provides us with a simple direct mapping from a address to a source file and line number. Till dwarf 5, it isn't a completely independent table. You first need to know the compile unit that the file table corresponds to know the main directory and file name, which is kind of inconvenient. because the last part of the debug info is the compile units, which contain the debug information entry trees. So the debug information entry tree describes the program scope, function arguments, variable locations, types, lots of the program. So the line tables and symbol tables are fairly simple, but the dies are described as trees per compile unit. So originally dwarf was designed to describe the one compilation unit at a time compiler. So you compile one source file at a time, you link the object files together, and for every object file you have a die tree describing how that source file was compiled to object code. These days you not only have compile units, but you can also have separate type units or shared partial units. And when using link time optimization, some of the units might actually describe debug information entries from completely separate source files. And to make things even more complicated, at least for a dwarf reader, is that the description and encoding of the dies, the abrefs, are separate from the actual data in the debug info section. It does make some sense because you often have the same kind of dice with the same attribute, so it's useful to describe the format of the data once and then have the data in the actual tree just reference the abref that describes the encoding. There are lots of cross-references to other debug sections, like which line table is associated with a particular dietary, where to find the ranges describing the program scope, the function entries, location lists describing where to find variables, and the type, so that for those variables we know which type they are, and important at least for for us is the size of a variable. When we don't want any inline information and no variable information, we use a simple dwarf reader that only reads the top of the die tree to extract the compile unit source file and reference to the debug line table. But if read inline or read var info is enabled, we use a different full dwarf reader that reads the whole die tree looking for the interesting dice. In practice, we used to always use the full dwarf reader because we want to read the program scopes to tell us which function is inline to another. So much of the dwarf reader speedup came from skipping all the non-program scope entries, which would only be interesting for the variable location information, which is off by default. So where do we find the debug info? Sometimes you can find all the debug info in the binary itself. The dynamic symbol table is always there, sometimes the symtab. And if you are just using your just compiled program with minus G, everything else is also in the executable. But especially for distro binaries, system libraries, the symtab and the debug sections are all moved into separate debug files. If you then install the debug sub-packages for your distro, they can be found to the some standard build ID-based path names or through the GNU debug link section in the binary, and that provides a file name which you can then look up using a standard search path. Falkgrind comes with a experimental Falkgrind debug info server, which serves compressed debug info files in chunks from the current working directory. It is completely manual. You have to find and store the debug files by hand. It was implemented to run Falkgrind on a remote mobile device with limited storage, so you can serve the debug files or parts of debug files from your workstation. I'm not sure how many people are actually using it, and the documentation is fairly minimal. But if you use it, it would be nice to know. And finally, there is the new debug info, the support, which is kind of the opposite. It works completely automatically. If the debug info the find utility is installed and the debug info the URLs environment variable set to debug info the server, Falkgrind will just find the debug files. Aaron wrote the support for Falkgrind 3.18.1. It spawns a debug info defined utility if it is installed. Puts the debug files it gets from a server into a cache. It also caches negative lookups so that it quickly knows not to ask for more or the debug info again on future runs, and it's shared with other utilities like GDB, elfutils, the bin utils, utility, system tab, etc. Which is handy if you use GDB and Valgrind on the same binary. Some distros now set the debug info URLs by default, specifically Fedora 35 does. Debian also has an official debug info server, as do various other distros. And you can also try to use the federating server, debuginfod.elfutils.org. And that URL also gives some more background information on debug info, which client programs support it, which distros have official or experimental debug info servers. At the moment, we still have a bug when the debug info find utility is spawned. It might generate a sig child signal when it dies, which might arrive at the program that Valgrind is running instead of Valgrind filtering it out. Hopefully it's solved by the time this talk airs. So the Valgrind Dwarf Reader was slow, which was exposed by the debug info support. Suddenly there was always debug info for everything. And it was pretty bad. If you have a simple C++ Hello World program linked against libstd C++, this is on Fedora, which is built with LTO enabled and then post-processed by DWZ, a dwarf compressor. You would get 100 megabytes of debug info. And so just running Hello, C++ Hello World under Valgrind took 12 seconds. Luckily, I could reduce the reading speed till it took only 4500 milliseconds. Then I stopped trying to make it faster because it's kind of in the range of overhead that Valgrind has anyway. So why was the debug info reader so slow? Basically, Valgrind was too eager to read all dwarf information, even when some data could be skipped, and it would not reuse some data that was shared. So we now fully skip use and children of dice without addresses when we use the read inline info is yes. We are only interested interested in those die subtreated contain function descriptions, the program scope entries. So we can simply skip any subtree or whole CUs if they aren't associated with any addresses, because a function is always associated with addresses. So we partly did that already, but when we did, and we didn't know the size of a subtree, and we often didn't because the subtrees are variable in length, and the data is encoded in a way that we cannot know how big it is till we read the data. We would skip those entries by reading them, but then we also interpreted all the data, and we actually stored it in case we had for info enabled. But that wasn't really useful. So now we really skip those subtrees, and if we don't know the size of the subtrees, we might still need to read the data, but we don't try to interpret it or store any references to it. The same is kind of true for reading the line tables. Some units only have source paths to show where types are defined, but no associated function addresses. We used to read all those line tables and store those source files anyway, and now we don't, which helps. Dwarf constructs can easily be shared between units, especially when using the DWZ dwarf compressor. But Valgrind would not notice sharing of line tables or address between units. For both line tables and address, we now reuse them when the previous CU used the same tables. And finally, we introduced lazy reading of the address. Often we don't need to read the more than the top of the die tree to determine whether we even need to read the rest of the tree. But we would first create all the errors for all the dies in the unit up front, so we could read all the dies if we wanted. And now we lazily read the errors we need for each die. We do guess the errors because they are shared between dice, but if we don't actually read all the dice for a CU and with all the other changes we often don't, we might not read all the errors. And this was also the main difference between the two dwarf readers. The simple one only had enough logic to read the top of the unit tree to determine where the debug line table was, and now in the case we only need to read the top of the tree, we will only read the first abref and not the others. So what can be done to improve things more? There are still two dwarf readers, but using the fully fledged dwarf reader really should not be slower now. So we should really clean up the code and get rid of the simple minimal one. Hopefully dwarf 5 will introduce something like a multi-level line table that might save us having to read the die trees. The idea is that the line table itself will have the level of inliming there. But we have to wait on a concrete proposal. And of course, then compilers creating it. Maybe we could be even more lazy in the reading. That would be a somewhat bigger rewrite. But we should know when an address range or block is used. And we could then read the associated unit only on first contact. And if we have a debug address ranges section, we could actually use that to quickly get only that unit. But if there isn't a debug agent section, then we would have to build an address range to CU table up front, which might make things slower again. So maybe we could do the for info reading only when we are reporting errors. It's kind of the same as the above. It would be a pretty big rewrite. And the problem is the dwarf info is the wrong way around. So it goes from variable name to location per program scope. And the locations can be addresses, but also a constant value or a register, a value in a register, or even an expression combining those. It's partly in a register and partly at this address on the stack, for example. And I don't know how to efficiently construct an address to variable mapping from that. Also because it's the variable locations are really per program scope. And of course the value of a variable might not actually be in memory. So maybe we could do this only for global variables. That might be useful. Other interesting ideas is maybe stealing the chunks idea from the Valgrind debug info server and do that with the debug info defined. Implementation, but it is somewhat hard to see how that works with the caching if different programs use only parts of the same debug info file. And finally, we could make debug info defined long running, so keep the connection open, which is what GDB does. It reuses the connection to the debug info D server to more quickly download any new debug info files it needs. Might save some time on the first run and would be a workaround for the sigjalt issue because we don't shut down the debug info defined executable anymore. Okay, questions?